Let's continue reading verses 13 through 22 of Genesis 6. In this second half of Genesis 6, we have God's instructions to Noah to build the ark, which would be the means of preserving life during the worldwide flood. Genesis chapter 6, beginning at verse 13. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. And you shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing the flood waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing on the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them." Thus Noah did, according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Once again, let's begin with some background notes now for this second half of Genesis chapter 6. If you were to visit our apartment, one of the first things you would see as you would come in the door would be a model of Noah's Ark. A student of mine made this model for me a few years ago. It was built to N-gauge scale. I have a couple of N-gauge railroad boxcars right next to it for relative size. The ark's about 3 feet long. The railroad boxcars are about 2.5 inches long. So the ark was big, let me tell you. As you can see here from verse 15, the ark was 300 cubits or 450 feet long. That's 1.5 football fields, folks. It was 75 feet wide and 45 feet high. That's a four-story building. It had 3 decks and many rooms for the different animals. So the ark was a big floating container, more like a barge than a ship. Remember, the purpose of the ark was not to sail. No, the purpose of the ark was to float and be as stable as possible in the turbulent floodwaters. The ark was certainly large enough to carry all the animals, in spite of what the skeptics say. It was equivalent to several hundred railroad boxcars in volume. That's big. How many of you have ever been in a railroad boxcar? I remember in my college days, I had a job where I had to unload fence posts from railroad boxcars. That's an all-day job, if not more. Now, a few other things should be kept in mind here in this connection. One, Noah did not have to take two of every single variety of animal on board with him. Verse 20 says, two of every kind. Verse 20, of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing on the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. So maybe only a few pairs of dogs had to be taken on the ark, not two of every genetic variety of dog that we have today. Second point, many of the animals were probably taken on the ark as babies. Noah did not have to take the largest of all the animals. In fact, younger animals would better serve the purpose of repopulation later. Yes, Noah would have taken dinosaurs on the ark with him, probably babies. The dinosaurs went extinct after the flood, not 120 million years ago. All right? The dinosaurs which are in the fossil record today, they are the ones that died out during the flood. That's why you have fossils. A dinosaur, or any animal for that matter, doesn't get fossilized by just dying out in the open field. It must be rapidly buried by flood sediments. And to bury an elephant or a dinosaur takes a big flood. The fossil record around the world is overwhelming testimony to the fact of the worldwide flood recorded in the Bible. A third point to keep in mind. Many of the animals probably hibernated on board during the flood. After all, there would have been drastic climatic changes with a worldwide flood. Now, if many of these animals hibernated, particularly the large ones, then the food supply that Noah took on board, verse 21, would not have had to be as great as if all these animals were not in hibernation. And a fourth thing to keep in mind. Notice the end of verse 20. God said that two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. So Noah did not have to traipse all over creation, catching animals in pens and traps. No, God brought the animals to Noah. Now, what about all the insects? No problem. Here again, it says God would bring them. And how many insects do you think went in on the back of one elephant? So all the questions of the unbelieving skeptics and critics of the Bible can be answered. And maybe you can share some of these answers with your skeptic friends and neighbors. You know, not too long ago, someone asked me, what was gopher wood? And why did Noah have to put pitch or tar inside the ark as well as outside? Gopher wood was probably cedar or cypress wood. And the idea of pitch inside and outside was probably for impregnation, so that the ark was as watertight as possible. Furthermore, the pitch inside would have overcome all the animal odors to a large degree, something to think about, right? As well as preserve the wood. After all, the ark was 120 years, it seems, in building. And furthermore, it also kept the wood from rotting from animal waste products during the year of the flood. In any case, there's some ideas as to why the pitch inside and outside. There was one window in the ark for airflow, probably a protected 18-inch gap that ran the length of the ark right below the roof line. And there was one door that God himself closed, as we'll see in chapter 7. God closed the door when Noah and the animals were safe inside. I think we need to move now to the doctrinal or teaching points for the second half of Genesis chapter 6. Doctrinal point number one, God always judges the way of sin. God always judges the way of sin. Verse 13, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. What a contrast to what we read in Genesis 1:31 at the end of the creation account. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. Why the change from Genesis 1:31 to here in Genesis chapter 6? Answer, because of man's sin. God created man with a free will, and man chose to turn away from God and sin against God. Now God must judge man's sin. God always judges the way of sin. He has to, because this is a moral universe that God has created. God cannot sweep sin under the rug. God cannot pretend sin just didn't happen. God must judge sin. God always judges the way of sin. Is it possible that you're here this morning and you're not a Christian and you think that you can get away with sin? You think that somehow God doesn't know about your sin, or he's so loving that he just overlooks your sin? No way. As God judged sin in Noah's day in no uncertain terms, so God must judge your sin. It's only a matter of time. God's long-suffering does not last forever. God always judges the way of sin. But now comes the good news. Doctrinal point number two. God always provides a way of salvation. God always provides a way of salvation. Although God must always judge the way of sin, God always provides a way of salvation. God said to Noah in verse 18, "But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you." You know, this is the first mention of the word covenant in the Bible, and it concerns the salvation of Noah and his family. God always provides a way of salvation from his judgment of sin. I'm sure many of you are aware that the ark is a wonderful picture of God's way of eternal salvation for man. The ark is a spiritual picture of Christ, God's only way of salvation from his sure judgment of sin. As the ark took the flood of God's judgment and rode out the storm, so Christ took the flood of God's judgment against sin when he died on the cross. Christ rode out the storm of God's judgment and finished the work. As Noah and his family were safe from the judgment because they were in the ark, so we who have trusted Christ are safe from the storm of God's judgment against sin. We are safe in Christ. Do you see it? A beautiful picture of salvation. God cannot overlook sin, but he can forgive sin because the Lord Jesus paid the penalty for sin on the cross. God took the judgment upon himself. Now salvation is provided for anyone who will believe and trust Christ. God always provides a way of salvation. And practical application. Do we practice full obedience? Do we practice full obedience? Verse 22. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. Do you think it was easy for Noah to do all that God commanded him? Try building a boat the size of the ark with very little help. Try convincing people, including your own family, that there is going to be a worldwide flood when it hasn't even rained yet. Try preaching for 120 years with no converts, only skepticism and ridicule. It was not easy. But Noah obeyed God and did all that God commanded him. God could have made it easier for Noah, but he purposely let it be difficult as a test of Noah's faith. And Noah passed the test. He did all that God commanded him. What about us? Do we practice full obedience? Or do we cop out and only partially obey when the going gets tough? A lot of illustrations could be given here. But what about our consistency, parents, in having family devotions and teaching our children the things of the Lord? Are we fully obedient here? Noah was. Noah's three sons were taught well. In the midst of that corrupt world, they became believers, and they married believers, and they helped Noah build the ark. You know, most likely, Genesis 6:9 comes directly from the testimony of Noah's family. Genesis 6:9, Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Parents here this morning, will your children give you that testimony in days to come? God blessed Noah for his full obedience. Do we practice full obedience?